First Chronicles chapter number 25. First Chronicles chapter number 25. And Brother David had called me and said that he was going to be passing through. And I think that happened one time before he was passing through. And I told him, I said, I'd been out of town and I've got a missionary coming on Wednesday night. I said, I guess I need to preach. And I got a message on my heart for this morning. And so we'll get Brother David one of these days when he comes through to preach for us. But I appreciate their work, the work of the Rock of Ages. And now they're serious about, and I've been to prison several times with the Rock of Ages. Over here at Northeast years ago, we went regularly every Saturday night for several years. And got started doing that through the Rock of Ages. So it's a good thing. And Brother Bill and Sister Sharon, they're on the other end of it. But it's a good thing. And we appreciate those souls that's been saved. That's you've got a part in that. Got a part in that through your missionary support. And so we thank the Lord for that. But I want us to read, if you found your place, in 1 Chronicles chapter number 25. We're going to read verse number 1, and then we'll skip down and read verse 5, 6, and 7, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. The Bible said in verse 1, "Moreover, David and the captains of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to their service was." And it lists the sons of Asaph, the sons of Jeduthun. Then verse number 4, it said, or verse number 5, it said, "All these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, in the words of God, to lift up the horn. And God gave to Heman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord, with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God, according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 288. Let's pray. Lord, we come today and I want to thank you for all the blessings you've given us. Lord, for all the answers to prayer that you've sent our way. Lord, that you blessed us with. Lord, that we can just be here in thy house this morning. We thank you for the pretty day. We thank you for the sunshine. Lord, we thank you for the good report of what you're doing in the Rock of Ages ministry. Lord, thank you for the good Sunday school lesson and the choir singing. Lord, we praise your name for that. And dear God, we ask it as we come this morning for just a little while that, Lord, you would speak to our hearts from the Word of God, that we might learn something that'd be a help and a blessing to us in our Christian life. Lord, that the Spirit of God would speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's one here that's never been saved, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to their heart. Lord, I pray that they would get under your hand before it's eternally too late. I pray, Lord, they'd be saved. I pray you'd convict and show. Thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Lord, thank you for all you've done for us. Have your way right now and speak to our hearts. Bind the devil that he'd not be able to hinder in the service today. We'll thank you for all that you do and all you're going to do. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' name and amen. All right, let's go back to verse number 6. And let's read there the first part of verse number 6. Before we get started this morning, the Bible said, "All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord." Now, I know what you're thinking this morning. You read the scripture with me and you're thinking, well, the preacher spent a week at music camp. And now we're going to hear a message on singing. Well, if you guess that, you're a pretty good guesser. You're a pretty good guesser. You're paying attention. And so that's what we're going to try to do this morning. You're correct in that. Several people have asked me already, did I learn to sing? Well, I didn't learn to sing, but I learned more about singing than I knew before. And so there's a difference between those two. I'm sort of limited in my singing ability, but I did learn quite a bit about singing. Now, you already know today that the Bible has a great deal to say about singing and about music all throughout the Bible. You know, the book of Psalms is actually the Jewish songbook, the Jewish hymn book. That word Psalms means songs. And so the book of Psalms, there's 150 chapters in there, is actually your songbook in the Bible. And so God put a songbook in the Bible, the book of Psalms. And then, of course, I know you're familiar with the Song of Solomon. That is also a book in the Bible that the Bible says that it is a song. And then maybe you're familiar this morning when God delivered the children of Israel through the Red Sea, parted the waters. They came out dry on the other side, looked around, and all their enemies were destroyed in the Red Sea. And over there in Exodus chapter number 15, you find the song of Moses. Moses spake and he sang this song and they learned a song to help them remember what the Lord had done for them when He delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt. And you know, that's what a lot of our songs remind us of. They remind us that we've been delivered from slavery. We've been delivered from the bondage of Satan. We've been set free by the blood of the Lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about how many of our songs remind us that we have been delivered. So very important that we be reminded what God has done for us. Now, if the Lord will let me later on this year, I believe the next time we have the Lord's Supper, I believe the Lord might let me preach out of Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 30, where the Bible says after the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper and before Jesus went out to Calvary, the Bible says over there, it says, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Now, you think about that. What most people would think about being the darkest day of your life. Do you know what Jesus and the disciples did before he went to Calvary? They sung a hymn. God's people's got something to sing about, even the darkest of days. And then over in Ephesians chapter number 5, the Bible said over there, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so singing and making melody in your heart with a spiritual, godly song, do you know what? That's going to help you live a Christian life that is being led by the Spirit of God. So many places we could go to talk about songs and singing in the Bible. It is an integral, that means a necessary part of the Christian life. And here in this passage of Scripture that we've already read this morning, we learn some very specific details concerning the Lord's singers, those that were appointed to sing in the choir and to be singers. We find in 1 Chronicles chapter number 25. And when I went to music camp last week, I sat in the beginner class. That's where I needed to be. I sat in with Chloe. She was the youngest person there, 5 years and just a few months. And then there was another 5-year-old. There's some 6-year-olds and 7-year-olds, and I sat in there with the beginners during music camp all week long, and I learned the very basic things. That's where I needed to be, and I did learn quite a bit. And as I thought about what I had learned last week, I thought the number one lesson that I learned out of being there and sitting in with the beginners all week long, and what I heard over and over and over again, I heard these words: watch your captain. Watch your captain. And that's what I want to try to preach on this morning. I want to preach on the subject of watch your captain. Now, the captain is the choir leader. That's what Haman was. Look in verse number 6. He was the choir leader. We might say the choir leader. We might say the director. The Bible uses the phrase earlier in the book of Chronicles about being the master of the song. But whatever you want to call it, now at music camp, they called it the captain. Watch your captain. And it said in verse number 6, all these were under the hands of their father. You know how he taught them how to sing? He used his hands. You might have noticed this morning, that's one of the things, and they want everybody, no matter what part you sing, whether it's soprano, alto, tenor, or bass, they emphasize that everybody ought to know how to lead a song, how to count the time. That's something that's as ancient as the Bible, is to teach music by using one's hands. And Haman was he was the choir leader. He was the music director. He was the captain. He was the master, and he taught them with his hands. Now, there's a lot of ways we could apply that this morning, but I want to just take a few from our text and show you some things that I learned at music camp about singing and about this subject. Watch your captain. Watch your captain. Watch the one that's leading you. Now look in verse number four. Verse number 5. I've got three things I want to show you. Number one this morning, who should watch the captain? Who should watch the captain? Now verse number 4, the Bible says in the first part, it says, of Haman, the sons of Haman, and it mentions their names. I'm not going to embarrass you myself by trying to read some of them names. But we're talking about Haman's sons. Then in verse number 5 it said, all these were the sons of Haman, the king's seer in the words of God, to lift up the horn. And God gave to Haman 14 sons and 3 daughters. Boy, he had a large family, didn't he? And so we're talking about his sons and his daughters here. We're talking about who should watch the captain. Who should watch the captain? Not everybody watches the captain. But now the sons and daughters of Haman ought to be watching their father. Do you notice here in verse number 5, it calls Haman the king's seer in the words of God. You know what? He knew some things about the word of God. He was the king's seer. That word seer, it means the prophet. He was a special man that preached, prophesied, and he used his gifts to lead the choir and lead the singing. We're talking about the daughters and the sons of the king's seer in the words of God. And then it says to lift up the horn. They had musical instruments in the choir in those days. And so they used the songs and the king's seer and the words of God, and they lifted up the horn. You know, in the Bible, the lifting up of the horn or the blowing of the trumpet, you know what that is a type of, and what we find in the Bible, that's a type of proclaiming the word of God. Ezekiel chapter number 33. Over there, God told the prophet Ezekiel that if he was going to be a watchman upon the wall, that a faithful watchman upon the wall had to know the right time to blow the trumpet when the enemy's coming. And if the enemy was coming and that watchman did not lift up the horn and blow the trumpet, then innocent blood was going to be at his hands. So it's a type of proclaiming the word of God. Now, Haman, I studied this out. Haman's name means faithful. Isn't that a blessing? We're talking about the sons and daughters of faithful. If you've not figured it out by now, Heman and Asaph and Jeduthun here in the Bible, they are all a type of the Lord. And you and I, if you are saved by the grace of God, you and I ought to be watching the Lord. He is our captain. He's going to lead us, guide us, and direct us in this life, but we've got to be watching Him. We can't have our eyes out here on somebody else, on the world. We must be watching our captain. If we're going to be the sons and daughters of the Lord, if we're going to be the sons and daughters of faithful like we ought to be, we're going to have our eyes upon the Lord. How are we going to be like Him if we're not watching Him? Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 2, it says, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." You and I need to be faithful in our walk with the Lord. We need to be like Him, and we need to be like the Lord also. So we're going to have to watch Him. We're going to have to keep our eyes upon Him. I know some of you remember several years ago, I'm thinking maybe 10, 12, somewhere right around in there, all of a sudden you started seeing everywhere WWJD. WWJD, it was on t-shirts, it was on Bible covers, it was on bracelets, it was on necklaces, you still see it here and there. WWJD. What'd that mean? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Do you know that came from a book that was written by a man named C.M. Sheldon. He was born in 1857. You think anything that came out of the 1800s could catch on in this day and time? Sure it could, if it had a good foundation. He wrote a book called In His Steps. That was the name of the book. And if you've ever read the book starts out, and it's a fictional book, but it's got a great spiritual lesson to it. And in that book, it starts out, there's a preacher at a church. And he preaches out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, where the Bible says this, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps." And so that book starts out and that preacher preaches out of that passage of Scripture that ye should follow His steps. And he preached the message, you ought to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in everything you do in your life. It's a good message, isn't it? And so at the end of the invitation, he gathers anybody that is interested in furthering what he was preaching about to come to a room. And a lot of people out of that church, they come to that room, and here's what he proposes. He says, for the next year, everybody, what we're going to do, before we make any decision in our life, we're going to ask ourselves the question, what would Jesus do? That's where that comes from. And that book talks about how that little group of people for a year dedicated themselves to follow in the steps of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it talks about how it changed their community. It changed their church. It changed their individual lives. It changed their family lives. Do you know, if you'd make up your mind that you were going to follow in His steps, don't you know it'd make a big difference? If everybody in church would do that, and that's what that book is about. But you know what? If you and I today, if we are going to follow in His steps, we're going to have our eyes upon Him, aren't we? We're going to have to watch Him. We're going to have to see what would the Lord do in a certain situation. And oh, if we do that, boy, what a difference it would make in our lives. What would Jesus do? We're going to have our eyes upon Him. Who should watch the captain? The sons and daughters of the Lord need to be watching the Lord. Need to be watching Heman. Faithful is what that means. Number two this morning, I want to show you this in verse number 6. I want to show you how to watch the captain. How to watch the captain. In verse number 6, the Bible said, about the sons and daughters of Heman. All these were under the hands of their father for song in the house of the Lord with cymbals, psalteries, and harps for the service of the house of God according to the king's order to Asaph, Jeduthun, and Heman. Now, there's two things, two keys to how to watch the captain. All these were under the hands. That's first. First thing you need to underline. All these were under the hands of their father for song. That's their songbook. They learned out of a songbook. They had the book of Psalms. And so when Heman, their father, would teach them how to sing and how to take their part in the choir, he used his hands and he used the book. Now, when we were in class with the little ones, here's how Miss Carol, she was my teacher, and the other little ones' teachers, and here's how she taught us to sing. She said, "Get your book in your hand." Now, she didn't say it like that. She's very sweet. She's very natured to those children. But I'm preaching everybody this morning, so I'm on. So she said, "Get your book in your hand and get it where you can see your captain." That's what you need to do, first of all. She got everybody practice that. Get your book and get it open. Get it in your left hand. Watch your captain. Keep your eyes upon your captain. So you've got a book and you've got to watch the hands of the captain. You know what? Your book is the Bible. You're going to live for God and do what you ought to do in this life. You're going to have to get the book of God in your hand. And you're going to have to get your eyes upon the page and see what it says. Amen. The Bible said in Psalms 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." This book will guide you. This book will lead you. This book will never lead you wrong. It'll always lead you right. You've got to get the book of God in your hand if you're going to be successful. Watch the captain. You've got to watch him through the book. It's the only way you're going to keep your eyes upon the Lord and know what He wants you to do. You're going to have to learn to watch Him through the book. And that'll help you if you'll do that. You know, when we went on vacation, I started reading Pilgrim's Progress again. I don't know how many times I've read the book, but it's one of my favorites. And sometimes I just like to pick it up and read parts of it. And near the beginning, it talks about in the beginning of Pilgrim's Progress, he tells the story in the fashion of a dream. And it says at the beginning, he said, "I saw a man clothed with rags standing in a certain place with his face from his own house, a book in his hand." He had the Word of God and a great burden upon his back. That's how it starts. And that's how your walk with God will start. You are introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God. He hadn't met the Lord yet, but he had the book in his hand. And he had a great burden upon his back. That was the burden of sin. And it said, "I looked and saw him open the book and read therein. And as he read, he wept and trembled." And he got on down there and he said that he cried out, "What shall I do?" He come to the knowledge that he was a sinner. An evangelist comes along and points him to yonder wicket gate. And the story of Pilgrim's Progress is about this man named Christian. And he goes through with a book in his hand and he becomes consumed with that book and the king of that country. And he keeps his eyes in the book and on the king of that country, and that's where he's headed to. And that's what you and I need to do today. We need to keep our eyes on the book, and we need to keep our eyes upon the king of that country, because he's going to lead us and guide us in this life. The hands that we're talking about, that's talking about the hands of God. Isaiah 64 and 8 says, "But now, O Lord, Thou art our Father, we are the clay, and Thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. You know, God's hand is on your life, whether you recognize it or not. He's trying to lead you, mold you, make you, show you, get you to where he wants you to be. His hand is upon our lives. He's the potter. We're the clay. He's the molder. He's the maker. And oh, if we learn to watch him and his hands, with the book of God in our hand, Jesus said in Luke 4:4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. How are we going to watch the captain? We got to keep our eyes on the book, and we got to keep our eyes on the captain. That's the first lesson we learned. But then this morning I want to show you also why we should watch the captain. Why is this so important? Now, here in the Word of God, we have Haman, we have his sons, we have specifics about how they learn to sing the songs of the Lord. Now, why we should watch the captain, look at verse number 7. The Bible said, so the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord, even all that were cunning, was 288. Did you catch why we ought to watch the captain in that verse? So the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs of the Lord. Why should we watch the captain? Because that's the only way that you're going to get your instructions. See, they were under the hands of their father for song, but in order to do right, they had to watch his hand so that they might be instructed in the song. So they had to watch him, believe it or not. Now, when I was little, I never paid no attention, but I just thought the choir director just sort of done what he wanted to do. You know, he just up there winging it. I mean, maybe it felt good, and that's a, you know, I didn't know that all that had a purpose to it. But the choir, the captain is not just flailing his arms wildly because it feels good. He's trying to instruct us. And if you will watch the captain, you'll learn a whole lot of things that you need to know in life. You're going to have to watch the captain. Believe it or not, if you'll watch the captain, if you'll watch the leader, if you will watch the master of the song, you will learn when to begin. Did you notice we were trying to do that today? Now, how do you know when to start if you don't watch the captain? Because sometimes they just start singing. I mean, just start, and then the piano comes in. Sometimes a piano player will play a whole verse. You got to listen. Where are you going to come in? Sometimes they'll play part of a verse and then a little, I don't even know what it's called, a little wind it up and start in then. How are you going to know where to start? How are you going to know where to start? I'll tell you how to know where to start. You watch the captain, and when it's time to sing, the captain will let you know. That first song was a 4-4 times, so it started on a downbeat. That's when we knew to sing. We got together and we practiced and say, all right, whoever's leading, when they put their hand down, that's when we start singing. So we pretty much started all together. But you got to watch the captain to learn how to do that. You got to watch the captain to know when to start. You've got to watch the captain to know when to stop. You ever went on singing and everybody else has stopped? You ever sang on a note when you should have been resting? You know the little squiggly marks in your songbook? That means rest. You ever just run by that like running a stop sign and run right on through and everybody else is saying, and here you are, joy, and nobody else saying nothing. And so you're like, joy, oh. That's embarrassing, isn't it? Watch the master. Watch your captain. You'll know when to start. You'll know when to stop. You'll know when to rest. You'll know how to get on track. Listen, apply this to life. You'll know how to get on track, stay on track. And when you mess up and get off track, you'll know how to get back on track if you'll watch a captain. Because you will mess up, I promise you that. Do you know songbooks, they have things in them, every one of our songs. They have these up and down lines on the staff, and they're called the measure bar. That measure bar, and every song has measure bars. And every time you cross a measure bar, it's on a downbeat. That's a good place to get back on track. If you get lost in a song and you don't know, and it's hard to jump in the middle of that, but if you'll watch and you'll find where the words are, you cross that measure bar, start right there. You'll blend right in with everybody else. It won't be odd. You know what? In life, you're going to mess up. God knows what He's doing. He's leading us along. He wants you to stay on the right track, and He provides plenty of places to get back on track. Aren't you glad for that? That's the mercy of God. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, when you got off track, you'd never get back on track, but thank God. Thank God He's put plenty of measure bars in life, and you say, boy, I got off, boy, I messed up, but thank God I'm going to hop back on right here by the grace of God. And sometimes, by the grace of God, you think about this, sometimes you can just about not notice how bad you about messed up. That's a mercy of God. That's great. You ever got off? But God didn't let you go out there forever and ever and for years and years, but He let you see pretty soon you was off track, and you got back on track by the grace of God. You'll watch Him, He'll show you, He'll help you, He'll say, jump back in right there and everything will be all right. And by the grace of God and under His blood, we'll forget about that and we'll just go right on. Well, that's the grace of God. You got to watch the captain if you're going to know where to get back on at. The captain is keeping time and knows where the measure bars are and where the best place to get back on is. You know, one of the greatest problems of our modern day life is just knowing how to prioritize. You know what I mean by that? I mean, there's so much going on. We don't know if we are going or coming. We've got so many things, so many irons in the fire. Yesterday, just one day, there was five or six things I could have done that a part of me said, well, maybe I ought to do that. There's not enough hours in the day. Last night at 6 o'clock, I could have been two places. Yesterday morning, I could have been two places I needed to be, three places I need to be, all throughout the day, all these things to do. How do we prioritize our lives? How do we put things in perspective? How do we put things in our life where they ought to be? Most people are living their lives, listen to me now, most people are living their lives like music in a contemporary church. You know the big thing now, what it is to put all the words on the screen and everybody just sing the same part and everybody just follow along together and there's no parts, there's no rest. Everybody sings the whole song and it's long and monotone and dull and it goes on and never seems to end. They call them 7-Eleven courses. Sing the same phrase, seven words, 11 times. You know, and it just on, and everybody's singing the same thing. That's how the devil would like you to lead your life. Just what everybody else, that's how it is. We're all doing the same thing the same way. Go the same place. Get excited about it. And it's football season, everybody. All right, you ready? We're going to get ready for football. We got back to school. We've got to be on Facebook. We've got to be on the computer. Now, you must watch TV 5 nights a week and keep up with who's done this and that. And boy, you just got it. And everybody fall in line. Buddy, that's the devil. You've got to do everything, be everywhere. You can't do everything. You can't be everywhere. You've got to get some prioritizing in your life. You know what? God never expected none of us to sing every part. But God does expect you to sing your part. You can't sing every part and it be pretty. But you can sing your part. So if you watch the master, now the Lord helped me with this. If it don't help anybody else, it's helping me. If I watch the master, he'll help me conduct my life the way I need to so I don't feel like I'm stressed and depressed and running and burning both the candle at both ends of the, you know what I mean? That's how we live our life. Boy, if I just watch the master, you know what? He's told me what I need to be doing. And if I put that first, everything else fall into place. I'm supposed to be pastoring this church. I'm supposed to be teaching at Victory Bible Institute. Now, God's put that on my heart. I love to do that. I feel like that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be on the radio. There's a few things I'm supposed to be doing. What are you supposed to be doing? Now, you can't do everything. You better find your part and you'd better sing when it's your turn to sing. And when God says rest, you can rest. Priority in your life. Watch your master. Watch your captain. The Bible said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Did you notice how that's phrased? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. He'll show you what you need to be doing. It's one of the hardest things for people to do is just get their life in order. Proverbs 3, verse number 7 says, and be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know what? The number one problem at music camp in the beginner's class. Now, I'm not saying they were bad because them children, they acted very good. And I praise the Lord for that. But now it got to be some long days. But the number one problem the teacher had was people not paying attention. The Bible said, be not wise in thine own eyes. But you know what? Some of them thought they'd already learned everything there was to learn. And so they wasn't watching the captain and they weren't paying attention. And she's trying to teach the altos when they're supposed to sing and when they're supposed to rest. And she's up there trying her best and some of them sitting back there in their chairs all laid back like they're in a recliner. They're not even looking at their book and they're turned around talking to their neighbor. Now how are you gonna sing on your part when you're not even watching? You're not paying attention to what you're supposed to be doing. You're going to mess up, I promise you. You know what? Life's the same way. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Oh, you think you've got it all figured out and you don't have to pay attention to nobody or no thing. You're getting ready to sing out when everybody else has stopped. And you're going to be embarrassed. And that'd be the best thing. But a lot of people, they've got everything figured out. They know everything about life, everything. They don't have to listen to nobody. They're like, boy, wasn't our Sunday school lesson good? Sort of like Saul. Saul sort of obeyed the Lord. That's how a lot of people are. There's a lot of people in class, they sort of singing along. That's how we are. We don't pay attention. We think we've got everything figured out. We get our eyes off the Lord. We're out here doing our own thing. Singing off key, singing the wrong part, not singing when we ought to be singing. That's embarrassing. If you've ever done it, I have. Look in Psalms chapter 37. I'm going to give you a few things right over there and I'll be done this morning. I want to close with this. Now, we need to be watching the captain. And they said, well, Miss Carol, how can we watch the captain so we know when to start and look at our book at the same time? And so she'd say, now get your book. Watch your captain. She said, now look at your book. What's the first three words? We'd all say what the first three words is. She said, all right, you know the first three words. Now watch your captain. Surely we can get that far. I know the first three words. And when their hand comes down, I can start singing and I can immediately pick up in my book the rest of the psalm. So I'm going to show you the first three words. Psalms 37, verse number 3. The Bible said, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. There's three words in them three verses. Trust, delight, and commit. If you in your life could do those three things, watch the Lord, you'd be all right. Trust, delight, commit. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do what's right. Do what you know you're supposed to be doing. So shalt thou be in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That does not mean that if you will delight yourself in the Lord, that he'll give you what you want. If you will delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you what you ought to be wanting. He will give you the desires, the right desires, to desire the right things. Then commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Boy, if you and I, if we would do those things in our lives as we watch the captain, you talk about a beautiful song. God evidently enjoys pretty music, because there sure is a lot of it. He wants your life to be a beautiful song that has different parts, different verses. It'll have high parts, it'll have low parts, but the Lord desires that when you get down to the end of the road and look back, that others and yourself, you will say, that was a beautiful song. But you know what? You get out of God's will, you get off key, off pitch, out of tune, you get off here dancing and singing to the world's tune, and you know what? It's going to be like fingernails on a blackboard. It's going to be like somebody just banging on the piano. You know, that drives me nuts. I like good music, but I do not enjoy a youngin banging on the piano. We have a piano in our house, and very, nobody bangs on the piano. I can't stand that. You know, that's how a lot of people are living their lives. They're just banging on the piano. They're here and up and down, and there's no... Let me tell you how to know if you're in the will of God or not. Has your life got any harmony, any melody, peace, joy, contentment? That's good evidence you're where you ought to be. Is your life in a continual turmoil and a fuss and a fight and no peace, no joy? You're forcing things. You're trying to do this. You ought not to be a doing. That's the good Lord above saying you are on the wrong key. You're not where you ought to be. And you know what? Here's something about the Lord. If the Lord desires for you to be here, that's middle C. If God wants you to be there, I don't care how old you are. I don't care how much you know. I don't care how much of an education you've got. If God wants you to start there, you are going to have to start there. As I wrestled with them youngins and held Chloe on my lap and struggled, and then the other youngins started coming to me too, and I'm telling you, buddy, I was not on vacation last week. I thought, I'd just like one time to go in that other class where I hear that good music coming out of, and I'd like to try to join in with them, because these youngins and mine in particular is driving me nuts. But I'd like to go over there. But God won't put you over there until you learn what you need to learn over here. You learn over here first, and God will let you go over there. But he will never let you go over there till you start over here. So the younger you start over here, the better off you're going to be. My little cousin is 8 years old. He's been going to that singing camp since he was a year and a half years old. I was copying off his paper. That's embarrassing. You talk about a humbling thing. God will humble you if it'll help you. I was glad I was in there by the end of the week. First couple of days, I was ready to come back to North Carolina. But the Lord helped me. He'll help you if you'll get where you're supposed to be. You are not as smart as you think you are. A lot of us have a lot of learning to do in our lives. In Proverbs 3:17, the Bible says over there about the ways of wisdom. I like this verse. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Praise God, get where you ought to be, and you'll find life is not a headache, it's not a strain, it's not a pain, it's not, you shouldn't be wanting to run down the road and run off a cliff. Y'all to be enjoying some of this God's give you. You can't enjoy something, you can't enjoy your life, maybe you're not where God wants you to be. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.